You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the program. My name is Bob Arthurs. It was Bob Arthurs yesterday, and it's Bob Arthurs today. Pray that you are having a wonderful day and that the blessing of God, and that God makes his face to shine upon you today, that you are going to be a blessing wherever you go. I pray that you are such a blessing. You're not only a blessing to God and to your family and to your church and to your community. I pray that you will be a blessing at work, and if you deal with customers, you'll be a blessing to those customers as well. We want to take just a moment to invite you to Merritt Assembly of God tonight, 7 p.m. is when we will be gathering. And this will be our new adventure. We finished in the Fire Bible Discipleship and had a graduation last Wednesday, and we'll be tackling something new this evening, 7 o'clock. So if you like to get in when things are just beginning, this would be a great opportunity. 7 p.m. in our sanctuary. We would love to have you come and be a part of that. So we are going through the Bible right now, and we are looking specifically at the subject matter of what does God want to teach us. And we're in Mark chapter 12. Yesterday we read from verses number 18 through 37, where Jesus has three different conversations. The first conversation he has is with a bunch of Sadducees that don't believe in anything supernatural. They claim to be religious, but don't believe in God, basically. And then there's a second one where one of the scribes comes and asks him about the commandments. And then after Jesus answers them, or answers, the scribes, then he begins to ask a question, and the point that we are looking at here is that Jesus wants to teach us how to think, not just what to think. And so there is a there's an education system in parts of the world. And if you give an academic test, a lot of times these people are going to hit it out of the park. They are going to, they're going to show that they have the ability to pass the test. But the education style is not about problem solving. It's about remembering an answer. You know, I love history. I've taught history on numerous occasions. It's been church history, but history was one of my favorite subjects. But history can also be a very boring subject if it is taught from the mindset of, well, you just have to remember these dates, these people, what happened. If you boil it down to just the mundane, it can become boring. So I loved history, but when I taught, or when I studied history when I was in college, the textbook was just like I described. These are the dates. This is what happened. This was the outcome. And if I was having trouble sleeping, all I had to do was bring out that textbook, because it was so boring, it would put me to sleep. So whenever I teach, I try and teach it not just from the dates and the times and the people and the results. I try and teach it, what is the lesson that we can learn? And so whenever I teach history, I deal with this quote that says, the only thing we learn from history is that we never learn anything from history. We just seem doomed to repeat the same mistakes over and over and over again, because we don't really learn how to adjust our thinking. So we need to develop the ability to make decisions that are going to be pleasing in God's sight. And so that's what we're looking here. So on yesterday's program, we addressed in verse number 24, where Jesus addressed the Sadducees and said, are you not therefore mistaken because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God? For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. So that's where we ended yesterday. Verse number 26 says, but concerning the dead that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses in the burning bush passage how God spoke to him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken. So in verse number 24, he says, you're mistaken. In verse number 27, God addresses this same group of people, and he says, you are greatly mistaken. When we were raising our children, we did not, ride in to the rescue like the cavalry at the last minute and try and protect them from failing at something. That wasn't what we did. We were there as a resource, and what we tried to do, we tried our best to set them up for success, but knowing that I've not succeeded at everything that I've done, and my wife hasn't succeeded at everything she has done, what we tried to do was that if there was going to be a failure, we tried to make that failure not a tragic, never to be overcome failure. We didn't want it to be fatal. We didn't want it to be life altering. And so we would set our kids up to fail in a safe way, if that makes any sense. And I saw something here not too long ago about a lady. It was an interview that somebody was doing, and that every night at the dinner table, the father would ask the kids, so how did you fail today? And he wasn't asking them so that he could punish them. He was asking them because he wanted them to not just become part of the routine of life, but to become everything that they should be. And so a lot of times when pastors are trying to encourage people to get involved in serving in the local church, a lot of people say, well, I don't want to do that. I don't know how to do that. I can tell you that everything in my life that I do, at one point in time, I did not know how to do it. Some people might say that I still don't know how to do it, but I do it anyway. I had a conversation with God one time. It was in a situation, and I was looking at it and coming at it from the perspective of a person who is not an expert in that field. And in fact, my comment was this: God, I'm no expert at this, but looking at this situation, I know for a fact that that is not the way to do that. Why did they do it that way? And God's response was, well, the people with the know-how didn't have the do-how, and the people who were willing to do it, they didn't have the know-how, but they did it to the best of their ability. And I said, that's an answer I can live with. I can live with an answer that I don't know exactly how to solve this problem, but I'm going to solve it to the best of my ability. I just don't want to make great mistakes. I don't want to make mistakes that are going to lead to tragedy. So Jesus is addressing here in verses 26 and 27 the great mistake that the Sadducees had, that God, this supernatural God that brought them out of Egypt and defeated the most powerful army on planet Earth at that point in time, brought them out of bondage and brought them into their own land and their own kingdom. A land flowing with milk and honey, that at best the Sadducees believed that God was a God of the past. And so they would refer to him as the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. But everything was relegated to the past. So Jesus was being questioned at one point in time, and he said that Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing the day that Jesus was ministering on the earth. And the people said, "You're not that old." And Abraham, you know, "You've seen Abraham, Abraham's seen you." And he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And that was a bridge too far for many of those people. And they were ready to stone him because of the way that he addressed them. And what he was saying is, look, all of those people who've gone before, they did not live their life just on whether or not they were going to have three meals that day and whether they were going to experience a lot of birthdays. They were looking forward to the prophecies of God and the kingdom of God becoming a manifest reality. They were looking forward to the day when Christ would rule on this earth. And the same lesson is here when Jesus says he is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. So to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for believers. That is a really important thing to remember. So there are some people who believe, well, when you die, your soul just goes to sleep. We, in the Assemblies of God, we do not believe in soul sleep. We believe that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We believe that the resurrection will be this mortal body putting on immortality, this corruptible body putting on incorruptibility, and that the soul and the spirit in the presence of God will once again be united with that body in a eternal condition that is going to endure for all of eternity. And so when we have a believer that is promoted into the presence of God, we have a celebration of life, of the life that they lived for the glory of God. So recently we were teaching about the judgment seat or the judgment of believers, and that is talking about the judgment seat of Christ. Petra wrote a song a gazillion years ago called The Bema Seat, which means the judgment seat of Christ. And the judgment seat of Christ is that we are going to be judged not whether or not we're saved, but our life will be tried by fire. And some of our life will be done in faith. And when tried by fire, it's going to shine forth as gold, metal, and precious stone. That which was done in love, that which was done in honor, all of that stuff will pass the test, and it'll be to the glory of God. Some of our life is going to be consumed by the fire. It's going to respond to fire the same way that wood, hay, or stubble does. It's going to be burned up. It will be lost. There are a lot of people who live their life just praying to get into heaven by the skin of their teeth. That's an Oklahoma expression. As long as they get in, that's all they care about. I want to encourage you, there's a better way to live. In fact, out of the servants who are entrusted with talents by the master who goes away on a trip, there's only one of them that gets corrected and rebuked and stripped of everything that had been entrusted to him, and that was the person who had been trained and entrusted with the master's resources, and he never did anything with it. You see, the things of our life, because God is the God of the living, not the God of the dead, is that everything that we do is because of the Jesus inside of us, and one day we're going to be laying those crowns at his feet, because all glory and honor and power and blessing belong to him. And I want to make sure that I have something to offer. So, if you're going to think properly, we're going to move on to the next section here. If you're going to think properly, you've got to know the Word of God. You have got to understand the power of God, that it is not just part of the past and part of the future. That the power of God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always been omnipotent, always will be omnipotent, and is omnipotent in your circumstance right now. And you also need to realize that God is the God of the living. He wants to show himself strong, not just in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He wants to show himself alive and well in your situation and your circumstances. That sets us up for verse number 28. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them, that Jesus had answered them well, asked him, Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he, and to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now, when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, You are not far from the kingdom of God. So the scribe comes, and again, this is a test. It is not an honest question. He was looking to trip them up. They were looking to trip Jesus up. And so he asked him, which is the first or which is the greatest commandment? I heard a sermon recently. I didn't watch the whole thing. And it was trying to establish that there are parts of the Word of God that are not nearly as important as the other parts. And when we read the Bible, a lot of times our mind can wander. If you start studying the genealogies, your mind can wander. If you start in Genesis and you get to Exodus, you're doing okay. All of a sudden you get to Leviticus and the Levitical law. Sometimes it is not the most thrilling passage, but I'm here to tell you there is great truth in the book of Leviticus that is mentioned throughout the scripture. And so this person said, well, there are certain passages that are more important, and therefore we're going to ignore parts of the Word of God, and we're going to focus on this because this is going to appeal to this certain segment of society. And a lot of people said, woohoo, yay, team, go team. And I wanted to cry because the Bible says that not one jot or tittle is going to pass away, that Jesus came to fulfill all the law and the prophets. Somebody told me one time, they said, hey, this book here, they were talking about specifically a gospel. And they said, this is all we need right here. And I wasn't going to get into an argument with them or a debate, but my internal response was this: then why did God write the rest of the book? If that's all we need, why do we have the other 65 books? You see, it's not that we just need part of it, we need all of it. There is value and there is truth to be learned from the entire Word of God. A lot of people avoid the book of Revelation because they say, oh, well, I don't understand it. I don't think I'm ever going to understand it. And yet in the book of Revelation, it says, blessed are those who read this, who understand. The book of Revelation for believers is not a book designed to instill fear. It is designed to instill faith. That Jesus is Lord and will always be Lord, no matter how bad the situation becomes. So in Jewish culture, there were over 600 commandments. And one of the things that you learn the longer you live is that you're not going to be able to keep everything perfectly. Well, when you know that the scripture says if you have violated the law in one area, you have violated the law in every area. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Your sin may be different than my sin. My sin may be different than someone else's sin. Sin is still sin, and the soul that sins, it shall die, except for Jesus came to pay the price, give his life, shed his blood, so that we could ask him to forgive us our sins, to be the Lord of our life, and empower us to live the way that we were always meant to live. So, how does God want us to think when it comes to these commandments? So, in Scripture, there is a tense. You got your present tense, you got your past tense, and your future tense. Well, there is a form of speech where it is an imperative. It's a mandate from which we get the word mandatory. It's a command. It is something that we are supposed to do. And a lot of people, all of a sudden, you start telling them what they are supposed to do, even if it's from the Word of God, and the rebellion kicks in. I don't like being told what to do. I want to do what I want to do. And that can be a problem. So how are we going to respond? First of all, does God have the right to tell us how to live our life? Well, the answer is yes. God has every right that he has reserved to himself. He created us with freedom of choice. And so we should recognize his right to give us the instructions. And if you're a guy that's listening and you've ever tried to assemble something without reading the instructions, you've probably also disassembled something so that you could correct the way that you did it to line up with the instructions to get the result that you wanted to get. It's very, very important. So what is the commandment? Does God have the right? Well, he absolutely has the right. Why does he tell us to do it that way? It's because he wants to prevent us from experiencing misery and heartache and suffering. There is a person that I heard, and this sermon was something that was like, wow, that's amazing. And that was talking about when Adam and Eve were placed in the garden, that they had one commandment that they had to follow. That was, don't partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A massive garden. Lots and lots that they could partake of. And this guy said they had to walk through the abundance of God's provision. They had to be blinded to all that God had said yes to partake of the one thing that God said, don't partake of that. And so, folks, I want to encourage you. A lot of the commandments are positive. They have to deal with the things that we should do. Some of the commandments say, don't do this. We need to look at it and say, God, I am so thankful for the commandments that you have given to me that are protective. And God, I want to thank you for the commandments that provide for me. I want to thank you for your abundant provision. See, God is not a dictator making our life worse. He issues commands that are going to make our life better. We'll talk more about this next time on the Refresh Radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.